I'm Norman Caruso. Steven, we got an email recently that says we need to stop playing the ding sound after each topic. What do you think?
I'm Steven Duncan. People need to appreciate that we have limitations on this conversation because I will go on for way too long.
And you're listening to the Level 7 Podcast. And welcome to the Level 7 Podcast. Steven, is this episode 10?
Yes, it is the delayed episode 10. And for the people wondering, you can blame work, you can blame other projects, and you can blame football.
You can blame me.
And you can blame me.
You can blame Steven.
Yes.
But I think mostly you can blame the Super Bowl.
Yes.
Yeah, we watched the Super Bowl. So we didn't record.
Right.
But yeah, we're back.
You don't want to hear me slurring my words because I'm drunk on chicken wings.
I had chicken wings. They were good.
Oh, yeah. My local market had a deal on them. So, yeah, I got pretty fat that day.
Oh, I love chicken wings.
Yes.
All right. Well, let's get into our topics. On today's episode, Tetsuya Nomura says there's a secret project being developed by Square Enix.
THQ having some problems.
And our main topic, you're stranded on a desert island. Which game do you have with you? And I guess to throw in there, you'd probably have to bring the system too.
Yeah.
When you chose the game, so. But we'll get into that. Let's get into our first topic. Mass Effect producer Mike Gamble said that it wouldn't be a bad idea to keep your Mass Effect 3 save files. Do you think there will be another Mass Effect after the trilogy is completed?
I think there will be something else incorporating this. They're not going to say save your save file. They're not thinking about doing something with it. Obviously, they'll probably have DLC, but that's not what they're going to allude to. They're not going to say to keep a save file for DLC. No one announces that in that manner.
Do you think Mass Effect 4... Like, do you think there'll be like a Mass Effect 4 that'll pick up from where you left off? And if you keep your save file, you get to keep all your weapons and stuff?
There may be. I don't know if it'll be a direct continuation. Following this series through the first and second one heavily, I don't see what's going to happen at the end of the third one is going to leave a cliffhanger. Enough of the fourth one. But side stories may occur where something else happens outside of Shepard's universe. So that's maybe why you have to keep it around. And given the cash cow that Mass Effect 3 is apparently turning out to be, it just kind of makes fiscal sense that they're going to do it.
It could be a spinoff like Shepard's Big Adventure. Something
yeah,
like
or,
that?
Yeah, or they could have a cooking game called Shepard's Pie. Ha ha!
Oh.
Pun!
Yeah, I really like Shepard's Pie.
I'm
traditional Scottish dish. It's delicious.
Okay. Dark secret, haven't had it.
So, how can you make a joke if you've never even eaten it?
Because I at least know the words of it.
All right. Yeah, so you don't think it's going to be DLC?
No, you're not going to announce to keep your save file, because they never told you to keep your save file for Mass Effects 1 and 2 for the DLC. That's... In this era, you know that DLC's coming. Save your save file.
Maybe it'll be like a sex simulator with an alien.
They already have that in the game. It's called the Romance Simulator or whatever they're calling
it.
Yeah,
maybe it'd be like a full game this time.
Okay, is it going to be a little bit more fleshed out, or is it still going to be like an implied ass somewhere?
It'll be called Shepherd's Pie.
See, that would be awesome.
Yes.
Be fantastic.
Yeah,
like I said, with just the financial benefit, something's coming after 3.
Yes.
So Norm, THQ has laid off between 150 to 240 employees and is facing rumors that there would be studio closures. They have announced, however, that their 2014 game releases are on schedule. Do you think they will be around long enough to even release those games?
I think they will. I noticed what they're cutting back on. They're cutting back on all these kiddie games that they're making, and they're going to focus on more of like Saints Row, or Guillermo del Toro is making a new game called like Insanity. They're focusing on their main franchises and cutting away all the fat, and that's a good idea. It sucks that they had to lay off all these employees, but I think they'll stick around for 2014.
Yeah, we've talked a little bit about financial issues for Sony and Nintendo. However, Sony and Nintendo, it's usually, oh, we're not meeting our projected numbers.
Yeah, and Nintendo actually took their first loss this year. Like, they didn't... They lost money for the first time.
Well, we saw that coming because they had to immediately drop price on the 3DS and go with the business model that everybody else has been going with forever.
Right, and the Wii U, we'll talk about the Wii U a little bit later in this show, actually.
Yeah, but when we're talking about not meeting projected numbers or losses, revenue loss or profit loss in the gaming industry, it's not uncommon, because the saying is, you give away the razors to sell the blades.
Yeah, that's
been the phrase forever.
Yeah, it's a business model, though.
Right. So you're going to expect losses. Sony had losses because of the PS3. Microsoft had losses because of the Xbox. So losses and stuff, that doesn't bug me. Layoffs, getting rid of personnel, that's when you kind of start to worry, because you can't sustain studios. You can't sustain people. You know, if you can't bring in talent, you can't put out quality.
It's definitely a bad situation, but I think they'll stick around for 2014. I think their plans, I think it'll definitely save them money, but it is too bad they had to lay off those employees.
Yeah, they may get to 2014, but whew, it's going to be a long road after that.
Yes. Tetsuya Nomura, character designer for Square Enix, has said that a secret team is working on an unannounced title. What do you think it could be, and how excited should we be?
I'm hoping that it's a new IP. My hope.
No Kingdom Hearts 3?
No. No. No, 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 no. No, 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 no. I hope that stays unannounced. That it's a different topic for a different time.
That's what everybody seems to think it is. Kingdom Hearts 3.
I don't think that's what it's going to be. Why keep that a secret?
I hope it's Urguys 2.
Yeah. Instant classic right there.
Instant. Boom. Bam.
Yeah, I hope it's a new IP, but unfortunately, Square Enix has been, they've missed a couple swings on some of their new IPs.
They had The Last Remnant, Infinite Undiscovery.
Yeah.
What are some other ones?
Project
Sylphid? Didn't Square Enix do that?
I don't know, but the other two that you mentioned,
mm-hmm,
don't really get me excited for too much.
No,
but
now what if it's the Chrono series?
No,
no,
no.
Now,
keep it dead.
I know you've already talked about this in an article on thegaminghistorian.com.
Plug,
ding, shameless plug.
Yeah,
but yeah, you want Chrono series to not come back?
No.
So what do you think this could be? Is this obviously they're hyping it up because Tetsuya Nomura is the one who's announcing this?
Yeah, it's not anything people have been waiting for. It's not going to be Kingdom Hearts 3, and it's not going to be the remake of Final Fantasy 7. Because if you come out and officially say we're doing it, you don't have to have a demo. You don't have to have a screenshot. You don't even have to have a logo for the game. Just say that you're doing the remake to Final Fantasy VII, and people are going to flip their lids. They're going to be all over Square Enix. So I think it's something new.
So no Urguys 2?
No. No. I'm sorry, Norm.
Huh.
Even though we've speculated this for a while, Nintendo has officially said that the Wii U will be released by the end of 2012. Do you think this release will be better than the release of the 3DS?
I think it will, but my one speculation is that I hope the price is okay. the company has stated that the console is going to be expensive, probably more than $250 when it's first released. And it makes sense because you've got the system, you've got that controller with the touchscreen on it. So that's my biggest worry, because the Wii U, as far as like power wise, it's on par with PS3 and 360. Mm-hmm. So and those systems are what, like $200 now?
Roundabout.
Yeah.
So even with the success of the Wii, and I mean, people, this is going to attract the casual gamer. People are going to say, "Ooh, Wii U," and probably go after it. Do you think?
I don't think they're going to go after it as much.
If the price point's too high?
Well, not only that, but you see, the Wii was popular because it introduced this whole new form of gaming, the motion controls. The Wii U doesn't do that. The Wii U has a controller, which, you know, you can play your game without using a TV. It has all these cool features with a touchscreen, but it's not like a revolutionary new way to play a game. Do you see what I'm saying?
Right. And in thinking that, with that same school of thought, do you think that Nintendo is going to gear this more towards the hardcore gaming crowd then?
Maybe a bit more so, but I still think their company focus is on everybody should play a video game.
Yeah, I think they're going to go that. I mean, Nintendo has the casual market. They had it.
They had it, yeah.
Yeah. Well, they don't want to let it go.
No.
So, and especially with the revenue that will bring in. You know, we just talked about it. They just had their first year of losses, mainly because the Wii is kind of getting to the end of the cycle, and we're getting to a saturated market.
It's saturated, definitely.
Yeah. I think it will do better than the 3DS because it has the support and the thought of the Wii behind it.
I agree.
But I'm not saying that it's going to be the smoothest and that it's going to break all the selling records when it first comes out.
Well, that's it for our first four topics. When we come back, we'll get to our main topic. Steven, here's the premise. You're stranded on a desert island. There's an electric outlet somewhere on this desert island.
This is magical.
And a TV, so you can play a game. Which game do you have with you? And why?
Ooh.
So we'll be right back.
Fan of the show? Get regular updates on Facebook and Twitter at Level 7 Cast.
And welcome back to the Level 7 Podcast. Steven, it's time for our main topic. Let's say you're stranded on a desert island. And let's say there's an electric outlet on this desert island with a TV hooked up to it.
Sounds like we're on an episode of Lost, but go on.
Sure. Now, you can bring a game with you, a video game. Which game do you have with you? And granted, you'll probably be on this desert island for a long time. So which game do you have with you and why? Ready? Go.
Whew. Oh, man. Call me off guard. No, I was thinking about this, and most people who answer the desert island question of any medium just immediately go to their favorites. However, your favorite isn't going to last you the rest of your life. Because no. I thought of like games that I've beaten the most and that I just sit down and just play sometimes to unwind. And like Castlevania Symphony of the Night came to mind. I've beaten that game amount of times that I kind of don't want to admit. And every now and again, I just pop it in and I just kind of play it. It's one of those games I can just go with. But I don't think I could play it for the next 40 to 100 years, depending on how long I'm going to live on this island.
Now, that's a fairly long game. So
it's fairly long for somebody that hasn't gone through it. I can beat the game pretty quick.
Okay, so yeah. What would be your choice then?
I had a thought process. So stay with me, Norm.
Okay,
we're gonna go through the thought process. Final Fantasy VI popped in my head immediately because, like everybody else, I thought of the favorites. Final Fantasy VI is my favorite game, hands down. But there's only so many different ways that you can play that game. You want a game where if you're going to replay it, you can play it a different way, so it's a new experience. I understand you can change up your party or you can do a low-level game, but not too much has changed. Same linear path, same everything.
By the way, this podcast could become the Final Fantasy podcast. I think we talk about Final Fantasy in every single episode.
Well, yeah, sort of. Seinfeld had a Superman reference in every episode, so
That's true. Okay, we'll do that.
Yeah, so after that was Pokemon, because what's more customizable than 600 critters that you can have in a party of six, however you want.
Yeah, and that game, that's an addicting game too, so you wouldn't get bored.
No, you really wouldn't. And I'm going to go with Pokemon Black or White. It doesn't really matter. And I'm going with those because it has the most creatures in it.
Yeah.
Now, but the reason, that's not my choice.
Oh.
And the reason it's not, I told you, you have to stay with me.
Okay.
It's,
I'm staying with you.
Yeah, we just had a bend in the road. The reason I wouldn't want to pick that is because after a while, I would want to start a new game and try to go a different path.
Mm-hmm.
But have you ever tried starting a new game in Pokemon and like just looking at, do you want to save over this file? That prompt when it's showing you the stats of your old thing and you have 200 Pokemon?
Hell no.
Yeah, it's horrible. You're like, oh, I want to start a new game, but I don't want to lose all that progress that I just had.
Now, what if you accidentally erase it? Like, I accidentally erased my Final Fantasy VII save file, which had maxed out everything.
Ugh.
That was a sad day, by the way.
It would be, and that would sink my heart. However, Pokemon does a good job of having it so you don't save over it.
So it's like, are you sure? Are you positive?
Yeah. It asks, are you sure? There aren't multiple saves, so if you're on the same file, you're fine. But because I wouldn't want to start a new game, I don't want that game.
Okay, so what's your choice?
Skyrim. Yes. If you're going to have a game that's going to last you the rest of your life, might as well go with something that's open-ended.
Correct.
Something where the game's not over when the story's over. Skyrim also has the dynamic story system, I believe is what they've called it, where it basically randomly generates side quests.
Mm-hmm.
So you can side quest for ever.
Okay. Well, that would be a perfect game then.
Exactly. And then also, you don't have to worry about saving over a file because I imagine in this particular fantasy that you're not restricted to one save file. So you can have multiple characters. The gameplay will drastically change each time you roll up a new character. So it just, you get more replayability out of that game than most anything.
When you take arrows to the knee.
You would take a lot of arrows to the knee.
Yeah.
But it's just one of those things where it will last you a lifetime.
All right.
Because if you put 200 hours and somehow max out this random quest generator, start a new character and do it again in a different play style.
I'm going to throw a wrench, okay? Let's say you have access to online. What game do you choose then? Do you still choose Skyrim?
I still choose Scott. Well, if I have access to online,
yes.
I'm trying to find people to help me off the island.
Okay. Let's say it's only for video games. Like you can't talk to anybody. You get to play a game online.
Okay, but you don't. Okay.
Yeah, you don't get to like chat with anybody and be like, "Help! I'm on this desert island."
Okay, if I can't chat with anybody, it's still Skyrim.
Okay.
I'm not a big MMO RPG player.
Yeah, and if you couldn't talk to anybody in the MMO, that would be even worse.
Right. It doesn't make a lot of sense. And so, I mean, there are a couple of multiplayer games that I'm a big fan of, like Castle Crashers or Borderlands, but they, even with the online component, have nowhere near the expansiveness of Skyrim, even before Skyrim gets DLC, and those two games have already had DLC.
Yeah. Okay, so Skyrim is your choice.
Yes.
That's a good choice.
Yeah. No, two games this time. One, Skyrim.
Just one.
Yes.
Now, you threw a few games out there before.
I have a way of a thought process And you just have to stick with me.
Okay. All right. My choice. It's going to be... It was tough. Now, we're going to say there's no online, okay?
Oh, sure.
Okay, I think my first one... Now, I haven't played Skyrim. So, I don't want to say that. Now, that sounds like a great choice, though, because the random quests and all that. I think one of my choices would be Tecmo Super Bowl.
Going old school.
Going old school. Now, the reason being is I've played that game since I was little, and it's still fun to me. Like, it doesn't get old ever. So, I think that would be fun to play. Like, if I'm on a desert island, like, if I'm taking breaks, like, spelling out messages on the beach with coconuts or something, like, I could go play a game of Tecmo Super Bowl.
See, your desert fantasy and my desert fantasy are different then, because you're imagining actually doing productive things. I'm just thinking about playing the video game.
Well, yeah, so that's my reasoning. But another one is probably Final Fantasy VIII. Okay.
Final Fantasy VIII.
Eight. Okay.
Okay.
And the reason being is I sunk more hours into that game than any other game, and I still didn't finish everything. And I replayed it a few times as well, and I still had fun every time. And it's a long game. It's 4 discs long. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of side quests. There's optional bosses. But I think overall I'm going to pick Tecmo Super Bowl, just because it's pick up and play. You can... You know.
Now, we are talking about the NES...
Tecmo Super Bowl.
Okay, so not the Super Tecmo Bowl.
No.
Okay.
NES Tecmo Super Bowl. I just wanted to clarify. Yeah, the classic Tecmo Super Bowl. It's, again, most of my time is going to be spent trying to get off the damn island. But if I have some free time to kill, I'm going to play a game of Tecmo Super Bowl.
Okay. So if I'm going to throw the same wrench.
Please do, because my choice is completely different if online is there.
Okay, if online is there, in same condition, you can't, you know, be messaging people, hey, get me off this island.
Yeah.
What is it?
I'm going to go with Call of Duty or Battlefield. One of those online games.
Okay.
Because online shooters is like infinite replayability.
So you're on the island. You don't have much to do.
Yeah.
Okay. We know, we are both your average gamer, pretty much. You rage quit a lot.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Online shooters are no different. You have no problem having a game where you're going to rage quit and then, oh, that's right, I have nothing else to do.
See, I don't rage quit that much.
Okay, then it's just me being ornery.
Yeah, I used to do it when I was younger in high school, but like now, I just enjoy playing it, and I don't think I would rage quit that much. But those games are just because every game is different online, and the only thing that would suck is I can't chat with anybody.
That kind of works in your favor, though. That way, you don't have the stereotypical 12-year-old that's going to headshot you and then talk about it for the rest of the match.
That's true, but I like talking shit to those kids.
Oh.
Like when I kill them.
You're right. That is a downside.
So yeah, I think it would either be Battlefield 3 or Battlefield 1943 or Call of Duty Modern Warfare. You know, one of those online shooters that's just fun to play.
Okay.
You know how I like my shooters, Steven.
Yes, I do.
So much fun. All right, I'm going to throw another wrench because we got a little bit more time.
Okay.
Let's say you and I are stranded together. Okay, and so do we choose a two-player game? We can only choose one game. What game do we choose?
We have to make sure that we that we don't choose a game where we're going to kill each other.
Yeah.
So no fighting games with cheap characters.
No Street Fighter, no Marvel vs. Capcom.
No, none of that. I know that would be the choice of some people, but...
I'd throw a coconut at you.
Yeah, we would hate each other.
It'd have to be like a co-op game.
This is a fantastic question, especially for me being the hermit that I am. I don't really delve too much into co-op.
Maybe Turtles in Time?
That is a possibility. That is probably the most. That's the game I've completed the most in co-op. And every now and again, me and my girlfriend will still pop it in and play it. Something like that, like an arcade beat 'em up.
Yeah, I think that would be fun.
Yeah. In this instance, Castle Crashers would be closer to this because you and I have co-op that game together.
Castle Crashers, yeah. What about StarCraft?
No.
No, would we get pissed at each other?
No, it's not that we would get pissed at each other. This is my reasoning. Even on a desert island with nothing else better to do, if I got too good at the macros and got my actions per minute too high, I would still feel like an unproductive human being, even if I were stuck on an island and had nothing better to do. But that is, especially with the online component, this co-op does have online, right?
Let's say it doesn't. It's just you and me.
Oh. Well, I guess we could, like, create more maps. Something.
Bust out the map editor.
Yeah.
Look, Steven, I made a map of our desert island. Let's.
See, no. Then you'd get hit with a coconut.
Yeah. Okay. What about, so, Turtles in Time?
Turtles in Time or Castle Crashers? It's a toss up between. I think Castle Crashers has more in it.
There's a lot to collect in that game.
So, what about you? You got something in mind?
Could bust out the Contra. I like Contra.
if we didn't already feel like killing ourselves for being stranded on a desert island, let's play Contra, because that'll just do us in.
Yeah, but it would be like a challenge. We could be like, all right, let's see if we can beat the game without dying once. And if we don't, we just reset the game and keep playing.
Oh my god, that. I'm just imagining that scenario and,
you know, and Contra,
drinking.
Contra 1 is not as hard as people make it out to be. And I'm being serious here.
Okay.
It's possible to beat Contra with just your 5 lives or whatever.
Are you being serious? Or
yeah,
are you just,
I'm dead serious. I've done it before. If you just play the crap out of it, you just learn everything. It's suddenly a very easy game.
Okay.
Being serious. So we might get bored with that quickly.
Maybe you, apparently, Mr. over there, Mr. I got a big gaming dick.
I'm a pro gamer.
Apparently.
I enter Contra tournaments.
They still have those? They had those?
In my mind.
Okay.
I dream of being the Contra champion.
That's a perfect place to have them.
Yes. Okay, so let's just say Castle Crashers.
Okay,
I agree with that.
Go with?
Yeah, okay. We can hold hands, play Castle Crashers. You know,
yeah.
There might be some tension on that island, just you and me.
What kind of tension?
Sexual tension.
Okay, as long as I'm not the only one over here thinking that, we'll be all right.
Okay, I think it while we do the podcast.
Once again, if I'm not the only one thinking it, we'll be all right.
Well, that's it for our main topic. Hey, email us and let us know, what game would you play if you were stranded on a desert island? Email us. Where can you email us, Steven?
Level7cast@gmail.com. Are you going to email them back with the same wrenches that you threw at me?
I'll just email them back and say, I feel some sexual tension here.
Fantastic.
You can hit us up on Twitter @Level7cast. You can hit us up on Facebook, too. Just search for Level 7 Podcast. Or you can view us on the interwebs, level7podcast.com. All right, when we come back, our last three topics, and we have emails.
Oh, yay!
It's a miracle. All right, we'll be right back.
Want to hear more? View the episode archives at level7podcast.com.
And welcome back to the Level 7 Podcast. Steven, let's finish these three topics, and then we'll read some emails, and then we'll be out of here.
Yay.
Not yay. I like being
here.
Yeah.
I
like our sexual tension.
Yeah. You didn't hear me say that.
Kaz Harai will now take over as CEO of Sony starting April 1st. Is this a April Fool's Day joke?
It may be to cause her eye.
The company has reported, though, that for the fourth year in a row, they have lost money. Will Sony be able to weather the storm under her eye?
We just talked about losing profits. Not too big of a deal. We're not hearing Sony talking about laying off a lot of people or closing a bunch of studios.
No.
So that's okay.
Yes.
But you're going under new direction. You have a new CEO.
Correct.
That's not a good thing to walk into. Like, hey, we're losing money. Have fun.
Do you think he's going to shake things up over there?
He's talking about it. He's talking more like you have to be on board with a broader vision or whatever. The thing is, Kaz Hirai is actually taking over Sony as a whole.
Okay, so he's dealing with the TVs.
Everything.
Everything. Okay. Yeah.
So he does have much more on his plate. But I do see him kind of maybe giving a little bit of focus to the games. I mean, it is where he came from.
Now, I think Sony is a good company. I think they make really good products.
Yes.
I think that the PS3, despite its rocky start, is now a legit system and has advantages over the Xbox.
Correct.
Now, so I think, yes, they'll be able to weather the storm under her eye, because even if the video game market is, even if they're like not doing as well there, they're doing well in other areas. So Sony will be fine as a whole.
Yeah, I do see them weathering the storm, as we put it. I'm not saying Kaz Hirai is going to be the savior of this company, though. Like, he's going to come in and, ooh, wow, we turn everything around and now we're making, you know, profit hand over fist.
No, but he might make it more consistent.
Maybe. I do like his talks of being a bit more ambitious as a company and saying that the rest of the company has to be on board. That's good talk to hear from a CEO, especially since you lost money for 4 years in a row and he's coming in and saying, well, let's try to get some stuff changed. That's kind of a good thing. There's a report stating that the Xbox 720, or whatever they're going to call it when it finally comes out, will have a touchscreen controller that also has the traditional Xbox buttons, similar to the Wii U controller. The report also states that the system will incorporate Kinect heavily. Does any of this sound like a good idea?
It doesn't sound like a good idea to me.
No.
I think the Kinect is, like,
terrible.
Terrible. It is really bad. If you, there's a video out. There's a guy that works at Screw Attack named Jared. He does a show called Pro Reviews. He reviewed the Kinect, and he said everything that is wrong with that stupid thing. It is the,
right,
the most honest review of the Kinect I've ever seen. Basically, the Kinect is, it's just, I can't even describe just how,
it doesn't work.
It doesn't work. That's true. And why would you want to play a game that way?
Right.
It's just so... Controller. Use a controller.
Yeah.
Everything is like easier with a controller.
Right. And it's, and because it's using your whole body, you have to stand too far away. You have to use... It's not like the Wii where you can sit down and flick your wrist a little bit. You have to actually do movement.
Yeah. And he, you know, when he was reviewing it, you know, the screen came up and said, oh, you need to clear your living room. He had to, like, move his couch totally out of the way just to play the damn thing.
Yeah. So I started using the YouTube that Xbox recently put up.
Uh-huh.
And it had, you can tell that it's made for Kinect because the buttons or the icons are really big, and it tells you you can swipe your hand and select, mm-hmm, everything. And I'm sitting here going through this clunky interface and wondering, why would I want to swing my arms to do this? It would just be, I would just be sore after and be more of a pain in the ass than anything.
I think we're just really lazy, for one.
I mean, you work harder all day. You don't want to come to a video game that's going to make you work even harder.
No, I think they need to abandon Kinect. Just make the Xbox 720 a kick-ass next-gen system.
Yeah, and the whole thing with the touchscreen, you know, they already chased the Wii for motion control. Now they're going to chase Nintendo again with a touch screen. I from a gamer's perspective, I'm not a fan of that.
Not a fan. Double Fine Productions, the company Tim Schafer started, has looked to the community to help fund its next point-and-click adventure game by going to Kickstarter. The goal of $400,000 was reached within 8 hours, and now he's topped $1 million. Will this game bring enough fan support to bring back the point-and-click adventure game?
No, I don't think it's going to bring back the point-and-click adventure game. I am happy that this happened. You know, people talk about the quality that Tim Schafer put out, you know, yeah, with Grim Fandango.
This fundraiser says more about how much people respect Tim Schafer than it does about point-and-click adventure games.
Right. And that's why I'm happy to see it. People want, you know, people say, well, we want their products. And if you say, I want your product to a company, they're immediately going to say, okay, then buy it. Not only did these people say they wanted their product, they bought into it. Like, here's money. Give us a product.
Yes.
So now, I mean, it puts a lot of pressure on Double Fine. Like, I mean, if you get publicly funded and they come out with a bad game, whew, game over.
Now, I've heard arguments about this fundraiser. People say it's wrong of them to ask for money from the people who are going to buy the game. It's like they're paying twice for a game. How do you feel about this?
So I've seen certain Kickstarter projects where they give you incentives to donate.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they could do. Like, if you donate X amount of money, you get X amount of whatever. And if you donate, let's say $60, let's say it's a full price game, then you get the game. Mm-hmm. Or you can say, if you help fund the project by giving us $40, then we'll give it to you, even though it's going to be a $60 game. Now, I realize that's kind of tough because you're promising something that's not there. And this is kind of, you know, hindsight looking back. He didn't go out and he's not extorting anybody. He's like, hey, if y'all want it, fund it. I don't really see too much wrong with that.
No, I don't see wrong with it. Again, you don't have to donate.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's not these like he's people, forcing you to donate if you want to play the game.
These people willingly gave up their money.
Yeah, so it's good. I think it does say a lot about Tim Schafer. He makes good games.
Yes.
Well, that's it for our topic, Steven. Let's head to the mailbag section. Finally, we get some emails.
Yay. So you got two.
Got two?
Yeah.
Double the pleasure, double the fun.
We're probably really off key on that.
Well, let's go ahead and read these emails.
Okay, so the first one is from a gentleman named Cole Parker.
Okay.
And hi, Cole. Yeah, hi, Cole. Mr. Parker, if you prefer. The email reads, hi, guys. While I enjoy the show, I don't really like your self-imposed time limit on your minor topics. The bell ringing sound is annoying, and I don't want you guys to be in a hurry when discussing these topics or have to quickly wrap up when you might have more to say. A podcast is meant to be long because most people listen to it during their job or while doing homework, so it seems really counterproductive to try to make it short. It's just what I think. You don't have to change the way you do your show if you don't want to, of course, and I will still listen regardless. It's just what I would prefer.
Well, Cole, thank you for your email. We are always open to criticism, suggestions, but...
Absolutely.
We actually put on this little self timer because we didn't want to ramble.
Exactly.
And because I think 2 minutes is plenty of time to say how we feel about something.
Right. A lot of people listening to podcasts obviously aren't going to know us. We talk a lot.
We do. Seen in past episodes, sometimes we don't have a time limit on our main topic, and that'll go on sometimes for 30 minutes. And we'll just be rambling about this one thing. So for the main topics, they're just like bullet points. We try to breeze through them. And 2 minutes to talk, I think that's plenty of time. Don't you think so?
Yeah, I do. And that's... Yeah, if we... And now he's talking about how long the podcast needs to be. We actually talked about podcast lengths back when Level 7 podcast was nothing but a glint in our eye years ago.
A glint.
And we were talking about it. Yeah. We don't we don't like the podcasts that go on for too long.
Yeah, I actually know, prefer not, like 30-minute podcasts or 45-minute right. ones.
Yeah, the longest podcast I listen to is an hour, and that's when it gets lengthy. So I don't want to go anywhere past an hour, and I prefer the 30-45 minute limit. So it's more of what we prefer. So we know that, you know, we want something shorter. So that's what we produce. And he also says that he listens to the podcast doing homework. I don't suggest listening to podcasts while doing homework. You should probably concentrate on that and become a productive member of society.
Hey, it's fine. I listen to it. I listen to it while I drive to work.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's I listen cool. to it while doing work.
Well, Cole, thanks for your email. Thanks for listening to the Level 7 podcast. We appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much.
And do your homework.
Please do. We're looking out for you, bud. We really are.
That's right.
So the second one's long.
Okay, let's just sum it up. What's the email say?
So this one is from Kevin Christman from Germany.
Germany?
Yes.
Yeah. We've got so European listeners. Sweet.
Yeah. We're in the global market.
Global.
There are 2 points. Like I said, it's a longer email. The first one is movie licensed games that we really like.
Wow.
I can give my answer really quick while you're thinking about it.
Okay, what's yours?
None.
You don't like any?
No. Because I've never... Okay, I should preface this. I don't watch movies a lot. Like, at all.
Okay.
So, can't really say that... So if I don't watch too many movies, then I'm not going to play too many movie licensed games. The closest one would be Scott Pilgrim versus the World, but I don't count that now, as a movie licensed
that
game.
That was based more on the manga.
Exactly.
Okay.
So I guess gun to my head, I would say that, but other than that, none. There hasn't really been a movie game that has caught my eye. And if it changes, I'll let everybody know.
I'm going to say Willow on the NES was very good. This will have to be a main topic one day, because I'll have to sit down and think, because there's actually quite a few movie licensed games that I think are really good. Batman on the NES, that was based on the original movie.
You're right, it was.
Batman on the NES was good. So, yeah, we'll make this a main topic someday. What's his next question?
So he's
suggestion.
He has a list of games that he's been playing he thinks are hidden gems. He just wants to know if we've played them, what our opinion is.
Okay.
The first one is the Deus Ex series.
Deus Ex, I haven't played, but you have.
I've played Human Revolution. I enjoyed it. I wrote a quick little quip about it in an article.
On thegaminghistorian.com.
There you go. Shameless plug.
Shameless.
Yeah. Great game with huge flaws. The next one is the Mother series.
I know all about that. Awesome, awesome, awesome.
Yeah. I've played Earthbound, obviously. Never finished it because I have terrible ADD and never get around to it. But I did enjoy what I played.
One of the most overlooked RPG series, definitely.
Oh, yeah. The Paper Mario series.
Love it.
Yeah.
Great writing. Some of the best writing it's so funny, the Paper Mario games.
Well, whenever I start a Paper Mario game, I do thoroughly enjoy the writing, but towards the end some of them get a little too wordy. I remember Super Paper Mario had that problem.
Now, and these all kind of, it's like an evolution. Like, there was Super Mario RPG, and that kind of evolved to Paper Mario.
Yes.
And now Paper Mario evolved to Mario and Luigi on the handheld RPGs.
Yeah, that has a few. There was also the Paper Mario on the GameCube, you know, the Golden Door.
Yeah.
That one I really enjoyed. I think I just rage quit towards like the 6th episode. And then Super Paper Mario, that was the one game that had me turned off on the writing. All the other ones, I love the writing. Gameplay was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So, Police Knots.
Police Knots, that is a game I really want to play. It it's a game that is talked about a lot on RetroWare TV.
Yeah.
Just one of those games. It's Hideo Kojima. He made it after Snatcher. Police Knots is just one of those. It's one of those like text-based adventure games. It's just really, really epic.
Yeah.
Great story.
Yeah.
Characters. It's like a movie. Like an interactive movie.
Yeah.
Very cool.
I haven't played it. And I don't see that fact changing anytime soon. Shadow of Memories.
Was that on PS2?
No idea. Never even heard of it.
Shadow. I think it's a PS2. Maybe. I've never heard of that either. But yeah. We'll have to look into that.
Yeah. The Shenmue series.
Shenmue. I played a little bit. It's okay. I think it was a little overrated. It hasn't aged well. Eh. Okay.
Yeah. That was a Dreamcast thing, and which I never had. And then when they tried bringing it over to other consoles, I just wasn't interested. Snatcher.
Again, Hideo Kojima, just like Police Knots, good game.
Never played it, and now I'm learning something, that it's a Hideo Kojima game.
Yeah.
Sweet Home.
Oh, great game. On the NES? Well, it's not on the NES. It was only on the Famicom, but somebody has translated it for the NES. Great, great RPG. I recommend that to you, Steven.
See, now I'm going to have to remember it, because I had never heard of it.
By the way, that's a movie license game based on a movie.
Oh, really?
But you wouldn't know it if you played it.
Ooh.
Very, very good.
Okay. Go broaden my horizons.
Go do it.
Tomba 1 and 2.
Tomba. That's set. Oh, you know, we played that, Steven. I spent the night at your house in middle school. I brought over Tomba 2. It's that, like, little caveman guy with the pink hair.
Oh, we did play it, didn't we?
With the pigs. Yeah, that's a fun game on the PlayStation.
Yeah, I never delved much into it after that because it was the PlayStation. I was more into RPGs.
Yeah, and I think I just rented that game.
Yeah.
It was fun, though.
Yeah. So the last one is the Yakuza series.
Never played it.
Neither have I.
Apparently it's like Grand Theft Auto.
Or something. Yeah, except with the Yakuza Mafia.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, that was the email. It was a great email, Kevin. And since he is from Germany, he apologizes for any incorrect English. But, Kevin, I am happy to say that your English is probably better than mine.
Better than most Americans.
Yeah.
Well, that's it for this episode of Level 7 Podcast, Steven. What's for dinner tonight?
I'm slumming it. We're doing Hamburger Helper.
Ah, come on, man.
She's working. I'm spending time with you, Norm.
It's that sexual tension again.
Yeah.
It's building up.
Yeah.
And then I brought up that sleepover.
I know. I'm be sweating in my dreams, and she's gonna wake me up and go, "What are you dreaming about? Don't worry about it, baby.
Don't worry about it. It's none of your concern."
Yeah.
Well, that's it for this episode of the Level 7 Podcast. Until next time, take care.
Goodbye.